Okay, good evening. Hope everybody had a fabulous Purim. We are now turning our attention to the dreaded three-letter Hebrew word that the wives go cuckoo about. It's Pesach. It's Passover. And remember, just remind everyone, there is a major difference between searching for chametz and spring cleaning. They are not one and the same, and you are not obligated to pull out everything. You only have to clean the places where potentially chametz may have gone. If you have a room, a guest room that no food ever went into, you don't have to. You may just want to take a cursory look, vacuum, just make everybody happy, but you don't have to make yourself crazy. It's only places that you might have brought food in that you really have to check. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox and now we'll move on. Okay. Here's where we want to start. Very, very important. I'm going to give you each two guesses to tell me a number that you would pick to be the theme of Passover. I'll give you each a chance here. Jim's got four. What else? Brad, what number would you pick?
Is it 8?
Why?
How many days are there in Pesach? Seven?
Seven. Yeah.
Seven here?
No, eight here. We have eight outside of
Seven.
Israel.
So seven.
But seven, yeah, okay. Eric's also got four. I'm guessing because of the four cups of wine, four questions, four sons. Howard's got four also, huh?
He also he gulty, he salty, what's his
For good, for
four
expressions of redemption.
right, that's
Good.
why.
Four is definitely a theme. But now I'll take that one off the table. Give me another one.
You got 10.
Oh, yeah.
Plagues.
Okay, is that the only 10?
I think it might be. Anybody else know of 10? Tribes.
Ten tribes?
Were
Hey.
the tribes? Oh God. Not yet.
Okay. Yeah, we'll give you. You know, it's still it's in Yerushalayim. They're still celebrating Purim today, so I'll give you a little leeway there, Brad. No, there's 12 tribes, not 10. There's 10 lost tribes.
That's what is 10 laws, right? Yes, 10 commandments.
Yes.
Commandments doesn't happen until later on.
How about the number 15?
15.
15.
Well,
Does
it's
that
on the
mean?
15th of the month.
Okay, good. The 15th of Nisan, that's true. What else? Any other 15s in the related to Passover? Oh, yes. I would even say it might even be the most important number of the night.
15.
15. Steve, what page are you on in the Haggadah?
I was counting the Dayenus, but it looks like there's only 14.
No, there's 15. Try again.
Okay.
There are 15 Dayenus. Go ahead. But you went too far. Start on page one. Page one.
The order of the service, the
Yeah. These are the Seder. We call it the Seder, right? The Seder is order. And we start Kadesh Orchatz Karpas Yachatz Magid. If you count them out, folks, there's 15. There are 15 steps in the order of our Haggadah, of our Seder. And it's a very specific order. You cannot move things around. I don't recommend that you do matzah, and then later on you do Magid. You gotta follow the specific order. I'll call it a poem, but the stages that are listed there are very specific, and that's perhaps the reason why we call it Seder. Seder means order. You have to follow the order. Don't go out of order. Keep this in mind. There is everything about the Jewish calendar is related to the moon, right? for the most part, except we have one verse that tells us we still have to pay attention to the sun. Why? Because the holiday of Pesach, Passover, has to be in the season of the spring. The way the Torah phrases it, that Pesach needs to be Bechodesh Ha'aviv. You know anyone by the name Aviva
Yes.
or boy named Aviv?
Yes.
That comes from this word, spring. Aviv is the spring. The Torah demands that the holiday of Passover be in the spring. The word Aviv is spelled Aleph Bet Yud Bet. Aviv. Right? Aleph is one, Bet is two, that makes three. Yud is 10, makes 13, plus the last Bet is two, is 15. The spring also represents 15. And we're going to see there's a whole bunch of things that fit this paradigm of 15. And tonight, my objective is to understand what is so significant about this number 15, where we see it, or at least its usage, that we can understand what the essence of it is and why it plays such a prominent role the night of Purim. Jim, don't go Googling this now. No dice. Focus. Nah, no Googling now. You had your chance. Okay, here we go. So let's start with the following. Let's put all of this aside for a moment and let's talk about the architecture of the Beit HaMikdash for a second. Some of you might be familiar. The way the Beit HaMikdash was built is that if we were coming from the east going westward, that's the direction you would be coming through the entrance of the Beit HaMikdash. You'd be starting on the eastern side and continuing going upwards as you continued to climb the mountain. As you went through the Beit HaMikdash, you would be on the outside in the courtyard. What we know now today is known as the Temple Mount. It's a huge open area, of which the outer perimeter, the western wall of it, is what we call the Kotel. The Kotel is not the wall of the actual Beit HaMikdash of the temple. It's the outer courtyard. It's the outer fence of the Temple Mount area. If you were to walk in, go through there, and you'd come to your first gate, so to say, your first entrance point, you would go in and you would be in an area known as the Ezrat Nashim, the women's courtyard. The women's courtyard. Different varieties understanding what it is, but there was a balcony to it. Very often that's where the women were. If the ladies had to bring offerings, they went in down in the lower part. And you would continue going through this large courtyard until you came to a group of steps. Because remember, the temple is built on the top part of a mountain, Mount Moriah, right? And you continue as you traverse through the Beit HaMikdash, you would continue to go up. So it wasn't always on a ramp. It would be flat, and then you'd have steps to the next level. And then you would go through another set of doorways, and you would be into the Ezrat Yisrael, what's called the Israelite courtyard. And you'd continue through there, and then you would get to the Ezrat Kohanim, the Kohen section, parts that I would not be allowed into because I'm not a Kohen. Now, Rick also and Brad would also not be allowed past a certain point because they're not Kohanim either. Okay. Irv, you're also a Levi?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. In the back of my head, I remembered that. Okay.
Pretty
So,
good.
Steve, you and I, we get stuck in the back. We're a bunch of plebes. And no matter how much we donate, we're still not getting through. Okay. That's just the way it is. Fine. But here's my question. When we went from the ladies' courtyard to the Israelite courtyard and the Kohen courtyard, how many steps were there? Well, you should know. Now there are 15 of them. And it's known, interestingly enough, it got the term Shir HaMa'alot. Interesting. Shir HaMa'alot, Rick already picked up on it. That sounds very familiar to what?
Benching.
Okay, benching begins. We sing Shir HaMa'alot, right? We sing Shir HaMa'alot. But it's also part of a collection of psalms. There are 15 psalms in a row that all begin with the expression either Shir HaMa'alot or Shir LaMa'alot, but a song of ascension is how it's translated in English. Ma'alot means to go up, like Aliyah. When a person makes aliyah or gets called up to the Torah, the person gets an aliyah, right? correct is an aliyah, but we all call it an aliyah, right? Shir HaMalos are the songs of going up, songs of ascension. So there are 15 of them because you went from the ladies' courtyard up higher into the mountain area, higher up to the next level. But they were known as the Shir HaMalos because on them, and Irv, Brad, Rick, pay attention because that's where you sang, and God willing, will sing songs to accompany all of the offerings. The Levites would stand on those 15 steps with their musical instruments, and they would play to accompany with song all of the offerings. The steps leading to, okay, that's where they were. They were known as the Shir HaMa'alot, the songs of ascension. Okay, you didn't know that. That's great. I feel like my night here is already worthwhile. But you'll note that they're not just, it's not just a play on words. Perhaps we're getting a deeper insight of what this number 15 represents. 15 represents the ascension, the idea of growing from one level, ascending to the next level. That's where this number 15 continues to show itself. I'll give you a simple example. I mentioned earlier that the Jewish people, we base our calendar on the moon. Well, what's the cycle of the moon? How many days from its early, 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 almost nothing till it's a full moon?
14, is it?
No, it's
15,
15. 15.
15.
The 15th of the month is a full moon. Have you ever seen any werewolf movies? Come on, Irving. Come on. It's always they come out on a full moon. Right? The 15th of the month. Now, a lot of people don't know this. You find many, many places where the Jewish people are compared to the moon. Very simply, it is waxing and waning. It goes up, it goes down. We have good times, we have not good times. It's not a constant like the sun. The sun represents many of the other nations of the world. They are what they are, and that's the way it is. That's not the Jewish people. Our history goes up and down and up and down. We invented the first roller coaster. It's called life. That's the Jewish people on a roller coaster. But what's fascinating is that this first 15 is all growth. If I were to ask you before tonight, how many generations from the beginning of the Jewish people, from Abraham until the building of the first temple by King Solomon, how many generations would you have picked? You wouldn't necessarily know, but if I were to force you to think about it, what would be your knee-jerk reaction? You'd be like, I don't know, tons and tons. I mean, it's like a million years later. The correct answer is 15. It's exactly 15 generations from Abraham to Solomon. Yeah, because that represents the growth from its very earliest beginnings of Avraham till it reaches its peak. Full moon was most manifest when King Solomon built the first temple. That was like we reached the zenith, we reached the peak. But I'm going to show you that it really goes much, much deeper than this. And to this, let's take one more step back so that we can appreciate a little bit more. Just as an aside, sorry, while I'm at it, if you remember the story with Jacob, story goes that he has to run away from his brother Esau. He has to run away from Esau, right? And it says that he was on his way to Uncle Lavan, Uncle Laban's house. But the Torah tells us that he laid down to rest. He laid down to rest, what we now know is the place of the temple, right? And he laid there, slept there for the first time in 20 years. He hadn't slept all those days. Where was he? So the Rashi quotes that he was learning, so to say, learning Torah in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Eved. He was learning for so long. Okay, what did he do? What was it that he was studying? And what did he do all those times? So there's a disagreement in the Midrash. One of them says that he was actually saying the 15 Shir HaMaalos. That's what he spent his time studying and learning. Now, obviously, King David is the one who put it into book form that we know as the Book of Psalms, but there are many psalms that actually predate David, that predate him. There are psalms that are in there from Moses. There are psalms that are in there from Avraham. But King David is said is the one who have authored it and put it into book form. Okay? But what exactly does that mean? So let's take a step back now. God created our world. But the way the Torah, or the way the verse phrases it, is that Hashem created this world, Olam Hazeh, but he also created Olam Haba, the world to come. The way it's phrased is Ki biyah Hashem tsur olamim. Because, ki with, or because, ka Hashem Elokim, our God, right? God, tsur fashioned olamim. Notice the word olam means world. Olamim is plural.
World.
Worlds. Ki bika Hashem tsur olamim. Now, you'll note, if you can hear the way I'm saying it, that with Yud Hey, ki biyah Hashem, Yud Kei, right? A Yud and a Hey, Tsur Olamim, he fashioned worlds. The Midrash tells us that God used the letter Yud and the letter Hey to create the worlds. Yud and Hey. Our world, the one that we live in Olam Hazeh, this world is the Hey. God used the Hey to create it. And he used the Yud to create the world to come. Maybe at another time we'll talk what the significance of it is. Very simply put, the Hey really represents our world because you'll note what's at the very bottom of the letter of the Hey. The very, very base.
A race. I don't know.
No, that's on the side.
Yud.
Bottom.
Oh, I guess, yeah, yud. I guess you call it yud. It looks like a
Nope,
yud.
that's not there either. What's at the bottom? It's not
Not
on the sides.
an open space. Nope.
That's correct. That's what I was hoping you'd say. There's nothing there. It's completely open. But strangely enough, there's another open space in the letter in the formation of the hey. Where's that one?
On the
Go ahead,
left.
Howard, say it. Yeah, you don't just point.
On the top.
Yeah, on the top left, between the leg of the hay and the top of the hay, there's another space. We'll call it a window. You right? You have that picture in your head? The bottom of the hay is open and a window up at the top left. Yeah, it's exactly what our world is like. God says, in this world, you have the ability. If you choose, you have choice here. If you want to go, you can keep going. You can stay within this world and do great things. If you want to go down, you want to have a level of depravity of where you just continue to go down and down and spiral away from these values, it's endless. You can fall into the abyss down below. Nothing to stop you. Oh, you say, but if somebody messes up and they fall down, is there any way for him to come back in? Hashem says, of course there's a way. I got a back door. I got a secret passageway. The window up above, I'll let you climb back in. It's called tshuva. In fact, according to the Kabbalists, they say that the word teshuva is tashuv hey. It's spelled tashuv means you can return hey. Through that opening in the hay. Tashuv hay, teshuva. Okay, this world is the letter hay. The next world is the letter yud. But you'll note also that how much is the value of yud
10,
and the value of hay?
5, 4,
No. What's your total?
15.
15. 15.
Amazing.
If you want to know how you're going to traverse, how are you going to grow and use this world, the hey, to reach the next world, the yud, it's through 15 steps. Every aspect of growth comes down to this. Now, it's not just, oh, cool, it adds up to 15. You'll note the break is 10 and 5. You'll note the following. Really fascinating. Because, hold on, where did I write this? Yes. Okay. Okay. Listen to a piece of Talmud. The Talmud says that when David HaMelech was getting ready, he's trying to hope to get to build the Beit HaMikdash. We ultimately he did not, right? But when it was being built, he helped form. There were two drainage pipes. There were two drains at the top of the Mizbeach, at the top of the altar. I'm currently studying Tractate Sukkah. I hope to finish it in time for my father's yahrzeit next week, God willing. So it talks about we had the special on Sukkot, we had the water libation. And now we know it as the joyous Simchas Beis HaShoeva, right? The celebration of the water libation. It's because on the side of the Mizbeach were two drain pipes. One was used every day with wine libations, and the one that was used special on Sukkot for the water libation. And where they went, according to some authorities, it actually went all the way down underneath the temple. There was a little, in Frederick we call it a creek, right? That went underneath. It was a drainage system that was built there. And as it was being excavated, the Talmud says that the waters from below, the depths that are deep within the earth, they came rushing up to try to flood the earth again. And Dovid HaMelech was like, whoa, 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 we can't have that. So he took a shard and he wrote Hashem's name on it and he plugged it back up. But it went down too far. So what did he do? The Talmud says he said Shir HaMalot. He said the 15. Okay, the Talmud says that he went down 16,000 amos and he wanted it back up. So he brought it up 15,000, 1,000 for each, so that it stayed at just 1,000 amot below surface. But he said the Shir HaMalot. Okay, you have 10 and 5. What we find is as follows. Okay, when you have it's not separate. What I mean to say is as follows. There's an interconnection between the yud and the hey. It's not like this world is its own existence and the next world has its own existence and the two are not connected. That is not correct. They are very much connected and tethered one to the other. God provided us means by which to elevate ourselves to earn our share in the world to come. The things we do here in the lower world will impact our station in the world to come. We can earn, we get our ticket punched to get to that world by the actions we do here. So the 15 always represents this growing step by step to reach spiritual or other forms of success, elevating from the physical to the spiritual. Once you know this concept, you will appreciate something that maybe you never did in the story of the flood. Let's talk about Noah and the flood for a second here. Can you name me any of the dimensions of the ark?
Wasn't it like 300 feet long?
300 amo, yeah, 300 cubits, right? By.
Oh,
50,
okay.
50 cubits with
That's
a height of 30 cubits. Okay. 30 times 50 is how much?
1500.
Try again.
30 times 50.
300 times 50.
Oh, 300 times 50.
300 times 50.
Oh, it's 15,000.
15,000 square feet, right? Square amos, if you want to call it, right? Okay, 30 amod height, another factor of 15. How high above the surface, above the ground, did the water rise? Straight out of the verse.
40 feet?
No.
No.
I mean, if you're talking feet, maybe, but the Torah doesn't talk in feet. The
It
Torah
covered,
talks cubits. Huh?
I thought it covered mountaintops.
How much above it?
Well,
It says it went above the mountaintops.
how high is Mount Everest?
No, I don't want to know how high. I want to know how high above the peak of Mount Everest.
Right.
That the Torah tells us. Here it is. By the way, Irv, you're 40 is because that's how many days it was.
Oh, I know. I just thought it was feet too.
Nope. Here's what it says. When the flood was on the earth 40 days, the waters increased and raised the ark so that it was lifted above the earth. The waters strengthened and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark drifted upon the surface of the waters. The waters strengthened very much upon the earth. All the high mountains, which are under the entire heavens, were covered. 15 cubits upward did the water strengthen, and the mountains were covered. 15 cubits above the mountaintops. Okay? How long did it remain underwater? 150 days. If you review this chapter, you'll see everything about this story are factors of 15. Everything. Everything about it. Okay? All factors of 50. Why? Because what had happened here? You have 10 generation from Adam to Noah, and the world had devolved and become so corrupt that it, so to say, pushed God's presence above and out of this world, kept pushing the divine spirit towards heaven away from man. Where does this concept, how many sphirot are there? These emanations, these concepts that we talk about, godliness connecting to our world, there's 10 of them. The 10 sphirot. Well, if 15 represents the concept of being moved away, usually in a positive way, but here it was being moved. So all 10 aspects of the creation and God's relationship was being pushed away by 15, hence the water was up. The waters were there 150 days. Everything about this story. The floating ark would rehabilitate humanity once and for all, hopefully, by embodying the key to wholesome relationships. You'll see that in a second, which is the bedrock of a healthy society. Where do we see that a healthy relationship is built on this number 15? Ah, what does the Torah tell us about the marriage between a man and a woman? Ish v'isha. Man and woman, if they merit, God's presence dwells among them. If they don't merit, then God's presence is not there and it's fiery, terrible issues. The word for man, ish, spelled what? Aleph, Yud, Shin, correct? Ish. And Isha, woman, is Aleph, Shin, Hey. They share the two letters, Aleph and Shin. Man is Aleph Yud Shin. So he's got first and last letters are Aleph and Shin. Isha is Aleph Shin and then a Hey. So they both share Aleph and Shin. What's Aleph and Shin together? Aish. What's Aish? Fire. But what makes that special in the relationship? He has one more letter and she has one more letter. He has a Yud and she has a Hey. There's your two letters again, Yud and Hey. The relationship that when you bring Yud and Hey, God, into the relationship, right, where there's peace between them, then God's presence dwells amongst them. If you remove Hashem, you take the Yud and the Hey out, all you have is Aish. If they work together to grow, you have all the tools of success. The ark was, being that all of the numbers related to it, and the flood are factors of 15. The Torah is showing us that you can go ahead, despite all the turbulence that surrounds us in a society, if we have a home that is built with a trust and a love and a relationship with an ish and an isha, where you incorporate godliness into it, you're good. Because you have the letters of Yud and Hey, the 15 that allow for success and growth that will allow you to rise above all of the craziness of society, the turbulence that's there. That's what the ark represented. So you have this Yud and a Hey. Okay. It's not surprising, therefore, like Jimmy said, that our holidays, many of them, especially the joyous ones, are all on the 15th of the month. The 15th of Nisan, God willing, will celebrate this year Passover. The 15th of Tishrei is Sukkot. The 15th of Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, is the new year of the trees. the 15th of Av, right after, 6 days after Tisha B'Av, the saddest day on the calendar. We get to the 15th of Av, where it's a whole turning point about a feeling of positivity in the month. It's the happiest. The Mishnah actually says that the day Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur are the two happiest days on the calendar. Permitted, they were allowed to marry within their tribes, permission to bury those that were killed during the terrible tragedy in the city of Beitar that were the Romans had killed. And now, just yesterday, we celebrated the 15th of Adar, Shushan Purim. It's not a surprise because the number 15 represents reaching growth step by step to get to the peak, to get to that zenith. So when we talk about happy occasions of highest points where we meet God, it has to be the 15th of the month. How do you say holiday in Hebrew?
Hug.
Huh?
Hug.
Chag, that's one. If
Mo.
you want to say the festivals,
Mo de.
mo, yeah, very good. They're called Moadot, right? Moadot, a moed. Right? Like we call Chol HaMoed, right? Those are the intermediate days. It's not the actual Moed. It's the Chol. It's the weekday of the festival. What does the word literally, Moed, literally mean? It doesn't really mean festival or holiday. Great trivia question.
But ma'od is like more, like a lot.
Correct, but that's an Aleph. This is an Ayin. The root of the word is va'ad, vav ayin dalid, which means a meeting point. Moed are the meeting points on the calendar that we dedicate to meet with God again. That's why it's called a moed. These are our meeting points. And that's why we're commanded on the three times a year, the three pilgrimage festivals, to go up to Yerushalayim to be in the Beit HaMikdash so that we have a meeting with God. But that's where the word moed really is. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So 15, this number 15 comes about all about a step-by-step growth. Okay? Elevation from physical to spiritual. We also understand now why there were exactly 15 steps moving up into the temple and why they're called Shir HaMa'alot, songs of ascension. Not just because we're physically going up steps to the next highest point, but it represents the rising, the succeeding, and growing step by step. Can you name a couple of other things that are 15? You'd be surprised how many there really are. It's pretty amazing. So, Steve Nichol already brought it up. There are 15 steps that we talk about in Dayenu. And interestingly enough, Steve, if you'll honor us, there's a phrase right at the beginning of Dayenu. It starts with the word kama. And I want you to read the next word. Find Dayenu.
it. Dayenu. Which part do you want to know? The first sentence? What'd you say that again?
Starts with the word kama. It's like the line right before Dayenu starts.
Ma'alot.
Oh, so read it slowly.
Hello?
Kama.
Ma'alot. Tavot.
Whoa, kama ma'alot. Does that word sound familiar? We've been saying it all night. Shir ha-ma'alot. Shir la-ma'alot. Kama ma'alot tovot la-makom olenu. Normally, it's translated as how many advantages. How do they translate it in English there, Steve?
How many abundant favors has
Okay, how many abundant
for
favors?
us?
But on a deeper level, it's also saying how many steps it does it take for us to truly thank you, Hashem, for all that you provided for us. And then we go through. Had you only done this and not done that, it would have been enough to say thank you. And then if you just this and not that. would have been enough to say thank you. And then we go through all 15, and then at the end we say how much more we have to say thank you because you did it all. We list the 15 steps from bondage to the culmination with the temple. Those are your 15 steps. And if you think about it, that's exactly what we're celebrating. We left Mitzrayim, we left Egypt, but we reached the zenith, the pivot, the pinnacle of us as a people was when we built the first Beit HaMikdash, the first Beit HaMikdash. Okay. But there's other things that are 15 also. There are 15 words, 15 words in Birchat Kohanim, in the priestly blessings, in Duchening. There's 15 blessings. There's 15 words, sorry. Yevarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha. That's three. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'chunecha. That's another five. That makes eight. Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. 15 words. Why? Because if you want to pick a number that represents taking something from point A and raising it, especially spiritually, to the next level, you always use the number 15. 15 words when the ladies light or when we light candles on Yom Tov. The bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam asher kidushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Yom Tov. 15. Because what we're doing is we're ascending from the days of the week, right? Days of work to days of rest. Days of the physical world, and we're entering into a spiritual world called Yom Tov. In the very beginning of our morning prayers, Birchat HaShachar, we start 15. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Natan Lasech V'Hivin Alavchem Ben Yom Uvein Laila. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shelo Asani Goy. Right? You go down that list, 15. Over and over and over again, you'll find this 15.
Why don't we have 15 steps to on the Bema to have an Aliyah when we are called to the Torah in our
Probably because that's what it was in the temple. We don't necessarily have everything the way that was set up. Not obligated to do it that way. You could. I don't think there's any downside, but take it up with the architect. They're like 15 steps. That's like so high.
need a big ramp.
You need a big ramp and you need a serious railing too.
A steep handicap ramp.
Interesting. Once you understand this concept that growth is associated with the number 15, there's a verse that now will make so much more sense to us. In Hallel, we say, Lo hametim yehallelujah, v'lo kol yardei duma. Right? We sing this. Lo hametim yehallelujah, v'lo kol yardei duma. Right? Right? You have this. What do you mean? Lo hamesim ya hallelujah. The dead cannot praise you, God, but we thank God we are alive. Anachnu nevarech ya. We can praise you and bless you, God. Okay. The simple understanding is those who've passed on, they're not in a position to offer praise anymore. They're not here. But of all the names of God, why did you choose specifically the truncated name of God, a Yud and Hey? Why doesn't it say, Steve, you got hollow there? So it's one, two, one, two, three.
After the fourth cup,
No, it's before the fourth cup.
build a fourth cup.
You already filled the fourth cup, right? But in the third paragraph. One second, third, fourth paragraph. The end of the fourth paragraph. Two sentences from the end.
Ma'ashiv,
No, right before that. Keep going back. Not that paragraph. Go back before that. The one that says Hashem Zichroni Yivarech.
okay,
The end of that paragraph. Read me this two sentences from the end.
Lo, may team, yeah, how will you have a low Call your dad, Dumas.
Perfect. Lo hameisim yahalelu. And how do you spell Hashem's name there? It's not the full yud hey vav hey. How's it spelled? Isn't it just the first two letters, yud and hey? Lo hameisim yahalelu. Then there's a pause. Yah is yud and hey.
Okay.
Yeah, what happened to the other part of Hashem's name? So it's not surprising now. If I'm telling you that the letters Yud and Hey, 15, is always representative of what word? What's the one word tonight? Growth, right?
Ascending.
Ascending, growth. So it makes perfect sense that the name associated with growth, you're not going to say that about the dead because they're not in a position of growth anymore. What? Lo hameisim yahalelu. They're not in a position of praising Yah because that's the name for association of ascension. They're not growing anymore. Only those of us who are still alive and can make free will decisions can continue to grow. Therefore, Rashi tells us it's a rule. The dead can never mention Hashem's name as a two-letter name, Yud-Heh, because it's all about growth. The Mishnah tells us that before Mashiach comes, it describes what society will look like. And it uses 15 signs of what the world will be like immediately prior to the coming of Mashiach. The pre-messianic period, known as Ikvesa de Mashiach, on the footsteps, the heels of Mashiach, the time we believe that Mashiach is just around the corner. And so to say his footsteps can be heard, 15. We're growing to get to that final point, always associated with 15. Let me finish with this. At the end of Ashrei, the very end of Ashrei, okay, here also, we say, Tehillas Hashem Yedaber, Pi, Vivarech Kol Basar Shein Kosher Le'olam Va'ed. Now, Va'anachnu Nevarech,
Yoga.
Hey, Yah. Yud and Hey, Vanachnu, we, Nivarech Yah, we will praise you, Hashem, Me'ata ve'ad olam, from now and forever, Hallelujah, praise be God. But why, again, why using only the Yud Hey version of Hashem's name? Shouldn't it say, Vanachnu, Nivarech, Yud Kei Vav Kei? Isn't that the right way to say it? Vanachnu, Nivarech, Ado. That's the way it should say it. Because it's the same idea. We finish with that verse. Anything that reminds us of the natural world of growth reflecting higher purpose, higher connections, going a step-by-step process leading us from the physical to the spiritual, leading us to the higher level of growth is always associated with Yud Hey, the 15, connecting this world to the next, Hey to the Yud, always connecting it this way. Everything about it goes like this. Therefore, you have on Seder night, we begin before we even open up our mouth with Kiddush. We remind ourselves that there is a Seder, there is an order, and it is a step-by-step growth. This is going to be the next big wave sweeping the world. Going to be, when we were younger, you had Jane Fonda's workouts, a step by step how to become healthy. And then you had, what was his name? Richard Simmons and his Mishnayos. And he had, and we had all these, the gurus telling us step by step. And then you had Billy Banks and you had all these guys who had all the answers. This is going to be the new wave, gentlemen. The 15 steps of the Pesach Seder, how to become spiritually healthy in 15 steps.
Me.
That's what this is. The Seder night we go through. First Kadesh, that's step one. And maybe if we went through each step, you'll see what it is it's trying to teach us. It's not just a random collection of things that were, oh yeah, we're supposed to talk about this and this. No, it's literally climbing a ladder that has 15 rungs to get from the most basic Kadesh. Start with a statement of tonight is special. We start with Kiddush till you get to all the way at the end, Nirtza. You know what the word Nirtza means? We say it, but do we know what it means? It's the last of the 15 steps. Hallel Nirtza. What's Nirtza? From the word Ritzeh. Come on, Shmona Esrei,
One, I
Ritzeh.
want something.
What?
Ratzah means want.
Correct, but it means to be desired. Nirtza. Nirtza is that Hashem desires this. This is like, delicious. I've been waiting for you to say this. And it become beloved and wanted, desired. Yeah, we go through the step-by-step process. So, the deeper connection, number 15, has to be in the spring because Aviv is 15. The Song of Ascensions in Psalms, the steps leading up from point A to point B. The Mabul, the flood, everything having to do with factors of 15. The holiday, right? Here's another one. Ooh, excuse me. The 15th of the month, we said. Dayenu, we said, right? 15 generations from Avraham to Shlomo. That growth is 15. There's a lot, there's so many other pieces that tie this all together, but that's the idea. The first thing we're going to notice and we're going to recognize when we sit down at our Seder, God willing, and we're going to let everybody know that this is a step-by-step guide for growth over this night. Mirtz Hashem, in 2 weeks, next time we meet, God willing, we'll look at something else in the Haggadah or about the holiday of Pesach itself that fits another theme of growth and how we can learn from it as well. Any questions, any thoughts about this? Any other 15s maybe you thought of?
I thought there was a 15 in one of the paragraphs right before the meal. I gotta find it.
Right before when?
The meal. Maybe I.
Right before, oh, maybe 15 praises, Yishtabach, that we say every day
Right.
has 15 praises in it. You're right. 15 words of praise in that paragraph. It's all over the place. But now you understand the concept because Ki bi'ikah Hashem tzur olamim, the connection between the hey of our world and the yud of the next world are tethered together. The 15, yud and hey, 10 and 5, the 15 is the growth going from this world to the next in the microcosm and certainly in the macro. You ever hear that one before? I don't think we spoke this one out. I think this one was, I think this is a new one for you.
Yep.
It's hard to keep track who I'm teaching what to. I gotta be honest. And I've been learning with you guys for, in the most, in the latest iteration, we've been doing this, what, 5 years already? I think we
Yeah.
started in COVID in 2020.
Right.
So it's already 5 years I'm doing this, plus the 13 years I had you guys this. I'm bound to repeat something. So just humor me and keep shaking your head and saying, yeah, it sounds new. Any other thoughts, any questions?
No, thank you.
No? Great. Okay. Fabulous. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks, and we'll stay on the Pesach trail.
Thank you. Good
All
night,
right, pleasure.
everyone.
Thanks for
Good
thanks for
job.
joining, guys.
Good job.
Bye-bye.